On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, shout-outs to other podcasts, stories from my trip, and high school football in Kentucky.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
I hear some strange person saw your boob besides me.
What a way to start the podcast. You just ambushed me on that. Yes, Hank, I went for my final checkup with my doctor for my breast augmentation. How do you say that word?
Augmentation.
My boob job. I got a boob job, not a major one. But like I now have boobs, and while we are there in the room and like he is literally hands on my boobs, like some other patient just like busts open like Kramer from Friends.
They're going into the wrong room.
Into the wrong room. You know, it was an older lady.
An old lady.
Yeah. And like she just looks kind of horrified and leaves. And I mean, it's just the most awkward, weird thing. And you're like, I think maybe she was more embarrassed than I was. And he was like, I think you're right.
Well, that's a perfect way to handle it. So an old lady saw your new boobs.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
It kind of makes up for it.
It's funny, isn't it?
Maybe she liked him. Maybe she's going to get new boobs herself now.
Well, I mean, he does a lot of reconstructive surgery, so I think she's probably getting some boobs, or getting one back, or maybe both. Who knows? But, I mean, it was just weird and awkward.
She may be doing the vaginal rejuvenation surgery.
I don't think he does those.
Don't think so?
I think he specializes in boobs.
Boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Not Bush.
Boobs, not Bush. All right, Hank. How about the crude factor for this show? You've just notched it up to level 12. Thanks, dear.
Well, it is like out of a comedy. And it makes you, like, I'm glad you took it with a grain of salt. And I would have, too. That's what else can you do? But it goes back to me just being aggravated at how dumb people are. Not that they saw you naked, but... I mean, you know, if you're in a doctor's place, who just walks into random fucking rooms?
Yeah. And I mean, they're labeled exam room. And every time that I've been there, like the nurse takes you into an open room. Like the door is open when there's nobody in it. It's closed when somebody's in there. And they have been the most like just considerate doctor's office I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Like they are...
I've been the same one.
Fantastic.
That's where they did my lipo. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I can't imagine. And that's with any doctor's office, which, you know, by the way, once in a while, you know, I'm in the medical field and I deal with this all the time. Once in a while, somebody will, I know where to go, you know, kind of huffy with the with the medical staff. This is why, because some of these idiots will just, they don't know where to go.
Yeah. It was a total Kramer moment. Like bust in, throw the door open. And you're just, like, standing there like, hey. And I had mostly back to her. But I'm still standing there in a pair of socks and a pair of underwear. You're like, hey.
Did you actually say something to her?
No, I didn't. I was just kind of like, you're stunned.
If you could rewind it. Yeah, if you could rewind it, you could be like, what you see, jackass? Like, make them feel even worse. Like, just drill it in their head how stupid they are. You know?
I don't know if anyone...
You can't teach.
It was a weird afternoon at the doctor's office anyhow, because I waited a full hour after my appointment time before I was even taken back to the room. And then, once I scrambled as fast as I could to get, you know, out of my clothes... Like, they run in, take pictures real quick, and then I waited another probably 40 minutes for the doctor to come in. Like, there was something going on that was, like, he was behind that afternoon. And I know some people had left. And I was like, you know what? I'm here. I've clocked out of school. I'm going to get this done and over with because, you know, it was my last appointment.
You know,
after this, I'm out of compression garments. I can go get fitted for a new bra. You know, it's great. So,
yeah. One more time for a strange dude to grab your boobs besides me.
Know,
it's nice.
I know.
One last.
I have to go back every year to get them checked. So he gropes me once a year.
He's a nice guy
to grope, though.
Once a year groper.
Yeah. There has got to be like some kind of special talent to be able to do that without being skeezy. Because,
you know, you just go into professional mode.
Yeah, it
when,
is.
When you're in a medical field, it's we don't care. Just so you know, as patients, yeah. We don't care. We go, we see it every day. It's just like somebody looking at bolts and somebody trying to describe which bolt to turn. That's how we look at your body.
Well, it has to be. It has to be. He's really
you have to just flip
good
that
about
switch.
That.
And it's good. And there's boundaries, you know. Of course, as soon as you walk out of the office, then you start looking at people kind of normal again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, but when you're in a medical office, I'm telling you, they don't care.
Well, I mean, it's weird for me because, you know, now that I've been in hair school for a year, like I find myself like assessing people's hair. Like, mm-hmm. like I'm way more, I notice way more about people's hair now than I ever did before. And it's kind of funny because like I notice things I'm sure you'll never notice.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of groping, didn't you say there's some good stuff? You finally conceded that there's one.
There's one ray of light.
One
about
positive about Mr. Trump's.
Mr. Trump, we're not even going to.
Mr. Trump.
All right. This is the one good thing about Trump running for president.
One good thing Petra has.
All right. And this is an article from the New York Times by Jack Healey, H-E-A-L-Y. She never spoke of it to her husband. Then she heard the Trump tape. In 30 years of marriage, Nancy Fagan had never told her husband about the handling. How, as an eighth grader volunteering at a small natural history museum in Chicago, she was sexually molested by a security guard. This crap with him, his tapes about grab her by the pussy and just the women coming out of the woodwork, that of course he says that he's going to sue them all, that they're all lying, that he's always a perfect gentleman. It has got couples talking about sexual assault, sexual molestation, harassment that women face. At least this is a dirty little secret that has been kept for centuries. And it's finally out in the open and people are talking about it.
I'm glad it's out. I'm
I am
you
too.
I'm surprised more people, surely you women silently at least, are going to. I don't see how any woman could vote for this dude, frankly.
I can't either.
But whatever. I mean, if there's other, what am I trying to say? Other issues that are that much bigger, I suppose. But my goodness, that'd be hard to overlook if you're a woman, somebody that totally
disrespects you left and right. And
yeah, seems crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
This seems nutty. You know, and the thing we were on the last show, which, by the way, sorry, it's been a week. We had to skip a week for business stuff. And,
I'll tell you about that later.
Yeah, we had adventures. It'll be worth that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I was listening to our other show, and then it dawned on me that one thing about that Trump tape, and the other thing that we kind of hit on it a little bit, like I was all around it, but one thing, you know, later sometimes you think of something.
Yeah.
The thing that I think bothered me the most about it, and it should most people, is he basically maps out that girl right there, I'm going to sexually harass her, and then proceeds to sexually harass her.
Yeah.
That's the fucking problem with that tape, people. It's, you know, you can call it locker room talk, which, by the way, no, guys, don't do that. I've told you that last week.
Yeah.
If there's a guy in your group that acts like that, you may tolerate it, but secretly you're like, he's a jackass. I don't really like hanging out with him.
I don't even think there are many people that would tolerate it anymore.
Well, I mean, you might if you were hanging out on an evening. You might not, like, ditch the guy right then. But you'd put it in the back of your mind, and you wouldn't want to hang out with that dude much. But the thing of it is, like I said, on that tape, they see this girl. Oh, my God, that girl's hot. And then he starts, in a weird way, joking about, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. when I see a hot girl, I just have to kiss them. I can't handle it. And, you know, I can't handle myself and things like that. And then jokingly, he's trying to say, oh, yeah, I can just, you know, when you're rich like me, you can just grab him by the pussy. You can do anything. And he's trying to make a weird joke.
But it's not funny.
It's not funny.
It's assault. And he's describing assault.
Well, and when he's describing, like, he didn't obviously grab her by the crotch. But when he's like, when he's the first part of his stuff, he's like, oh yeah, I just, you know, you just go in and kiss him and blah, blah, blah. Like,
well, he does. He grabs he her by that. The hand.
Yeah.
And he pulls her in and he forces a kiss on her.
Right. That's the part that is absolutely, like I said, that's where it becomes not even a joke. It's like, you know, you could write it off as a joke if it wasn't play by play for basically what he did when he did see her.
Yep. Exactly.
That's weird.
And he talks about her in just such derogatory, objectified terms. This is a human being that he's discussing like that.
Oh, yeah, on top of that.
Yeah. Well, this article, this article says, for the first time, women say they are telling their husbands and boyfriends about the times that they were groped at nightclubs or on a subway, flashed on the street, shushed, or shouted down at work. Some men, in turn, said they were starting to see how gender could shield them from needing to defensively palm their keys as they walked to a car, from being trailed home by a stranger, and having coworkers rate their bodies.
Anything that brings it out is a good thing, right?
I think so. I mean, this is the one golden ray of light, of sunshine in all of this. Yeah, as everybody who's listened to this show knows, I've got some really strong feelings this election season, and I finally found like the silver lining in this.
Well, he certainly is. We've said this the whole time. I've said it since the election started that, well, you know, that Hillary's going to win and win big, and especially when it became obvious that this guy just shoots himself in the foot. You know, he just does. I said
this from the beginning of the election, that he's narcissistic to the point it's a mental illness.
He's like your 70-year, you know, he's 70.
He's 70.
Like, he's a weird, creepy 70-year-old groping women, go in, try to kiss them type. That is creepy as fuck. If anybody out there, if you saw some old man at some charity event from your local hometown.
Yeah.
And he went around trying to kiss women and joked with you in a bathroom about grabbing them by the crotch.
Well, 60-year-old. That was a 10-year-old, 10 or 11-year-old.
Okay, what's 60 years old?
But still, if 60-year-old joking like that,
you would have thought, this guy is a total fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
There's no doubt you would.
Like, the only thing that has allowed him to continue as he is acting is his money.
Yeah, I guess. Crazy.
It is.
So that's a good ray of light out of that. And good that,
This is a great article. I suggest, you know, anybody who's kind of following this and leaning very liberal feminist, this is wonderful.
Where's the article on?
I found it on MSN, but it's from the New York Times.
So it's a New York Times article. What's the title? Who's the author?
It is Jack Healy.
Jack Healy. All right. Well, that's great. You've educated me a lot about that. I mean, I didn't realize it was as bad. And, you know,
I've had some kind of upsetting event happen to me at least once a year my entire life. And there was a period of time when my job just put me in contact with a lot of jerky men that would threaten you physically on a regular basis. And I mean, I've gone into a gas station and come out and had somebody, you know, with his, you know, everything out for me to see right by my car.
Oh gosh.
I'm not some model. I'm not a 6 foot tall model. Okay. Just so everybody knows, I'm an average Jane. Like, and that is what we deal with day in, day out, on a regular basis. I mean, we're mad as hell. We're fed up with it.
Well, I don't know. These guys must do it by themselves, because, I mean, I don't know of any of my friends that I've ever seen
doing that,
do anything like that. Maybe they do it by themselves, and I don't know, but I don't know. There's just some jerks out there.
There are, and I get it, okay? I know that there will be comments like, not all men. I get it. Not all men do that. You know, there are a lot of great guys out there. But trust me, guys, some men do, and they hit all women have experienced this.
Yeah, it is I don't understand it either.
Yeah, that's not cool. Not cool. All right.
Let me make sure. Yep, we're still running.
Still running?
All right. I did some updates. There was a little pause there. I did some changes on this laptop to try to save battery life.
And now it shuts the screen off.
It seems to shut down faster, which is probably part of it. Actually, it wasn't to save battery life. It was to speed it up. But somehow, so I don't know if that screen goes black. I assume it's still recording.
I hope so, because we yammer on.
Yeah, we get going. I don't have time to look at it all the time. Yes. You watch that screen. I'll watch this one between us to get it going here.
All right. I went on a trip last week. That's why we didn't record.
Yes. You went to Pennsylvania.
I did. I actually went all the way across Pennsylvania to the other side of Philadelphia, a little town called New Hope. And I took New Hope, Philadelphia. I took a hair cutting class.
Where did you hear about a hair cutting class in New Hope, Philadelphia or Pennsylvania?
Because I'm an online stalker. Not really. Free Salon Education is a YouTube channel. They've got a store and a website and a social media app for hairdressers. And
you're getting ready to graduate.
I'm getting ready to graduate. And this was kind of my graduation present to myself. I went ahead and booked a room and hopped in my car and drove across the state and went out there. And it was a great experience. It was so intimidating because every other person in that room had been a hairdresser for years. Even though I was older than some of them were, I was still like the student in the room. And I don't think they really
cared
or knew. And I mean, I came out of there with so much more self-confidence and learned so many new techniques.
That's awesome.
I mean, it was great. It was great. And, I loved it. Matt Beck, thank you. He taught the class. He's the guy who runs the salon and he's the Hank Yates of Free Salon Education. He's the one that keeps it going.
Isn't that awesome that, like, you know, just the time that we live in, that you could find his YouTube channel, learn a lot from that.
Yeah.
And then go to a class with the guy doing
hands on and do it.
Like, that's
right
awesome.
There. Yeah.
That's really, we just live in the best time.
And it was important for me to get to support them, you know, financially a little bit too, because I have learned so much from that channel. I've watched so many videos from them. You know, it's time to kick back a little bit too. And if anybody listening to this podcast is a hairdresser and they haven't checked that out, they've got videos on everything. They've been doing this for several years now, and they've got a whole library of resources. So
when somebody, and it happens all the time, when they truly are like bored,
mm-hmm.
like, and I don't mean like take a day or two break being bored. I mean just bored with their life, bored with this and that. I can't comprehend how anybody in 2016 can be bored.
Me either. There's always something to learn.
There is. I mean, even if fishing's your thing, you can get on YouTube, find out the guru of bass fishing and find some new technique and then get out and practice that new technique.
Yeah.
And still be into something that you've done, but in a new way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can do that with anything. I can't believe people just sit around, and they do. I know they do. I meet them all the time. I talk to them daily.
I can't imagine. I feel like, I know I was getting on your nerves because, like, I came back from this class with, like, even more, like, whoo, I'm going to learn everything imaginable about this. And I was watching hair cutting videos. It's like, we got to change this.
I think it's great you're passionate about it. And I just feel more and more bad for people who are just kind of on autopilot, going through life, not really enjoying it, just sort of going through it. This going through the motions. You can, there's a million different ways to say it, but
mm-hmm.
I feel bad for people.
Well, I tell you what,
and
when,
that's most people.
Yeah, the day I came back, I did take a day off. Like I drove out there, took the class, came back, I took a day off just to rest up before I went back to school. And then I don't know what it was. Like, I had a slew of men's haircuts immediately.
Yeah.
So I don't really get to practice what I learned in that class, but I mean, I'm just attacking it with a lot more self-confidence. And it was something that they both noticed that was like, wow, you really know what you're doing. And I was like, well, I hope so. I'm about to graduate. And then I had another guy that it was kind of surprising, but it was the best compliment. He was like, wow, you really take pride in this, don't you?
That's a great compliment.
That is a great compliment.
That
because
is.
Yes, I do. You know, I don't, you are my walking billboard when you walk out of there. I want you to look as good as humanly possible. And if it looks like a crazy person cut your hair, that's not a good billboard. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that's just awesome, though. I mean, it's awesome you've taken up a new thing. I admire you for that.
Oh, thank you.
You know?
It was intimidating. It really was. And there's still moments where I'm like, oh, my God, there's so much for me to learn. Because
midlife, changing
so
your career, that's great.
And
I just love that. That's,
oh, thank you.
You know, and you were mentioning, you know, just enjoying what you're doing. You know, this week, and it seems like a theme lately, I'm really trying to, like, more live in the moment.
Yeah.
For a little while. I mean, I know you can't just sit there and daydream all day. But, you know, just like drinking our coffee. We got a new coffee pot for my birthday. Like, even just things like that. Like, sitting around, drinking some coffee, sitting around with you. I don't know. Just enjoying the moment. Slowing down a little bit. Enjoying.
Yeah.
I feel like most of my life has been, like, try to get the thing done, whatever's in your life right now, get that done so you can hurry up and get to the next thing. And then when that gets done, all right, now I got that done. Now I can do this. And you can still, I've thought about this, because we're still progressing. Like, we're still doing business stuff. We're still doing all that. But I'm also trying to live more in the moment while also moving forward. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I
think you can do both. I'm trying.
Like, I used to think when you said that, like when you said, you know, we're just having a good day living in the moment, I was like, oh crap, Hank's bored. Mm-hmm. To me, I used to see that as a warning flag that, you know, you're bored and, you know, we got to find something to do. But I believe you now. I believe you. I believe you really are trying to live in the moment. And that's important to me. I want to be more mindful and aware and enjoying life.
Well, there's some of both. I mean, don't get me wrong. If I didn't go to work for a week and just stayed home all day.
Enjoyed life.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
Yeah.
You know, everything's about balance and this and that. But
absolutely.
But for sure, like I said, just moments. Having a cup of coffee or doing whatever.
Sitting on the couch, you know, we've really enjoyed the show Westworld. That's been, we might watch that tonight. It might be on tonight. I'm not sure.
Should be.
But
I enjoy that. I enjoy these little moments with you and all that.
Well, and podcasting. Like,
this is great.
It's a little bit of work to get here, but once we're here, we need to enjoy the moment, enjoy the conversation.
I need this.
Yeah.
I need to do this. This is one of the things on my list I was thinking about the other day. One of those, like, I listened to podcasts. I had the idea in my head to do this, and I did it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad you're sharing it with me.
Good, because I really do enjoy it.
Like, that's one of these new hobbies that's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm glad you, it took some convincing. You had to talk me into it, because I am not a reveal-a-lot-about-myself person. Like, it's amazing the stories that I can tell to my customers in the chair. Like, they may sound very revealing, but they're very calculated to not reveal anything about myself.
Yeah, and the same with this show or anybody else's show that you listen to. Everybody decides how much of their personal life they're going to let their audience know.
But I feel like this probably is more revealing about who I really am at the core of my being than any of those conversations.
Oh, I agree 100%. Right. That being said, even though we may not reveal everything on this show, I definitely reveal more and talk about more things on this show than anybody in real life.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason why we started it, frankly, or I did. because I want to have an outlet.
Yeah, because we kind of need one because we're kind of a fish out of water around here sometimes.
It's nice to be able to take the mask off at least for a little while once a week.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we all wear masks, but, you know, on the street, you know, away from this podcast, we're different people.
Yeah.
We all do that. It's just the way it is.
Well, I think we're
not to the point where you totally lose yourself, but what you reveal, you know, when some churchy person comes up to us and, oh, honey, you need to go to the cornbread supper this evening with me at the Baptist Church of Hazard, and, you know, and we have to say politely, well, no, you know, we've got other plans, you know, instead of on this show where we're like, no, we're pretty much one step away from being atheist, you know. So
it's
nice to have some outlet for that.
It is. And it's nice to, like you said, take the mask off for a little while because
at least partially off.
You've got to be so nice and accommodating and
so politically correct.
Yes.
And all that.
And to be politically correct around here is to worship Trump as a god.
You know, and I admire people in our society who do that all the time. Like, it's great. Like, if you're a tattoo artist or somebody and you are living
in the moment, living yourself fully. I do too. I'm jealous of it.
I am too.
I'm jealous of it.
But if you run a business and
your business is dependent on little old church ladies.
Or just in the community in general. I mean, if you want to fight that battle, good for you. If you want to, you know, like the people that love getting piercings, good for you. I have no problem. I don't have any problem, but a lot of people do.
A lot of people do. And you know what? I used to be.
If you want to look like your face, like you fell face first into a tackle box, fantastic. No problem.
You know, I used to be a little put off by it, not turned off by it. Like, it was hard for me to talk to somebody who had a lot of facial piercings or even some tattoos on their neck and their face. I tell you what, a couple of years in hair school, if you go to hair school for over a year, at this point, you're just kind of like, oh, you're really expressing yourself, aren't you? I mean, it's just not a big deal.
Right. Well, for most of us, we have to kind of put on some, you know,
the business suit.
You got to put on
the business suit.
That's right. So anyway, it's a nice outlet. And this makes a perfect too in this discussion. This is a perfect segue to this.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to give a shout out to, you know, one of the podcasts I started listening to. I mean, probably, I don't know. I got in on it pretty fast listening to the podcast. I heard about it somewhere.
And you're like, oh, this is cool.
Yes. Then I started checking out some shows.
As long as I've known you, you've been listening to this podcast. I know where you're going.
Yeah. Keith and the Girl. I'll give you guys a plug right now. Keith and Himda, I've listened to them. I mean, I don't know. I'll guarantee you I'm one of their first 100 subscribers. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Because when they started, I mean, there just wasn't any podcast. There was very, very few. And, you know, where I'm getting with this, too, and it's about with you going to Pennsylvania, finding that guy from a YouTube video, this and that.
Yeah.
Well, from Keith and the Girl, and they're pretty, I'd say, famous in the podcast world.
Yeah.
If you like podcasts or have listened to them for a long time, you've probably at least checked them out. And Himda has just recently had a cancerous tumor removed from her chest area. Extremely rare form of cancer. I mean, one in a million, literally, type of cancers.
Oh.
And she's, you know, they're being great about it. And I wanted to mention this. If you go to keithandthegirl.com/, I believe it's tumor, then they have a place where anybody could donate.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That whole thing is just, it's nice. It's nice. You know, I don't, it's almost, I don't want to say transcendental. It's just some new form of communication and getting to know people. Like, I don't know them personally.
But you know what?
I know them.
You know them. You do.
You know, they don't know me, but I know them.
Yeah.
Just like people that listen to this show who may not have met us personally, they know us.
Yeah. Probably a lot better than our family does at this point.
For sure.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so anyway, I wanted to give a shout out to them. And like you were saying with your guy, like you wanted to monetarily.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. I have bought some of their merchandise, and I've done the donate thing to their show a few times. But, I mean, this is big.
Yeah.
You know, and it was nice to contribute some money to this fund to help her pay for cancer surgery, for God's sakes, and cancer treatment.
Yes.
It's just nice. It was very nice. And I just wanted to basically say that I appreciated any of those shows like that. When I first heard a podcast, instantly, I'm like, well, this is the future. And it may take a while, but I'm like, so these people are not bound by anything. Like, you can make a show. You can just sit and talk, or anything that you can imagine in your head. You don't have to have sponsors. You don't, there's no censorship, nothing to limit you.
But your own imagination and what people want to hear.
And maybe, I'm sure if you were creative, you could do it for free. But realistically, for $400 or $500 worth of equipment up front.
Yeah.
And maybe $50 a month after that. By the time you pay a few websites and a few, you know, there are a few miscellaneous technical things
that Hank handles. Let's say 50, to be honest,
let's just say $50 a month, $400 up front, $50 a month, and you can podcast and say anything.
And we do,
and put it out to the world.
Yeah,
literally the whole world. We have listeners, not to brag, I'm sure most podcasts do, that's been around a while.
What, in other countries?
Yes. Yeah. Australia, France, Europe, Russia,
Germany.
They're that Russian chick that,
yeah,
like people in Russia
have heard us, which is crazy.
It
scary.
Is crazy.
And I do want to give one shout out here right now. I think my brother has started listening. I have one brother that I get along with, and we see eye to eye on like everything generally. And I have another brother that we barely talk. But hi, baby brother.
Well, I just love it. And I think that's a, you know, it ties right in with what you were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And, well, it just does. I went to high school football game. It was crazy town the other day.
You did. Jesus, you were sending Christ. Pictures. It was crazy, wasn't it?
Martin County, Kentucky is just, it's crazy town as far as, if they could ever organize, they'd have a little militia and try to take over something, but they can't even like get their shit together enough to do that. They're just kind of disgruntled,
angry,
distilled, disgruntled white people.
White trash.
Just, there's a lot of white trash. I hate to say I don't want to classify a whole county, but my God, there's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about rednecks are great.
Rednecks are fun. White trash is bad.
Yes. I'm a redneck. Hell, I love fishing and listening to banjo music and making pones of cornbread. It's fantastic.
Yeah, but
I'm not running around calling people the N-word and
waving a Confederate flag.
Oh, my God.
Planning the
This
assault.
Ball game that we had to go to is a high school football game. And they played Martin County. That one high school played Martin County. From our area, we had to go to the game for like medical purposes, basically.
Yeah.
It's a team physician type thing. Not really physician, but helping out with the team.
Yes.
On the way up there, first of all, when you get into Martin County, we stop at this little gas station that looks like an all right, you know, it's well lit, all that. I tell the guy that I'm with, because it's crowded, like the parking lot is full. I'm like, before we even went in, I'm like, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to go in, we're going to pay for our stuff, but, you know, pay for this gas, but something seedy's going on in here. So just, you know, I'm calling it now.
I'm
calling my shot. He's like, well, why would you say that? I'm like, because it's Friday night at 7:00 in Martin County, Kentucky, and this parking lot is full. There's something. I'm just telling you.
There's something going on here, bud.
We go in, and of course, right off the bat, there's about three crackheads at the front counter scratching off lottery tickets. The lady working behind the counter, you can't tell if she's a crackhead or a worker, because she's just, you know, talking with them and helping them scratch their lottery tickets off, all that crap. We notice on the other side of the wall, not even a separate room, there's about six, like, video lottery machines back
there.
Video slot machines. Now, that's illegal in Kentucky, all right? Everywhere. there's casino boats on our borders, like in Indiana and some in different. That's 100% illegal in Kentucky. They're sitting back there just chain smoking, which, of course, that's illegal, too.
Yeah, indoors.
You think they give a shit in Martin County? Hell no.
Your laws don't apply here.
Damn right. So they're back there chain smoking, playing those video poker machines, scratching off lottery tickets. There's a cloud of smoke in there from they've been smoking all day doing that.
Yeah, and it's probably not all cigarette smoke.
No, probably not. I'm sure they're trading pills.
Don't care.
No, I'm sure they're trading pills and every oxys and roxys and whatever the hell else. Hillbilly heroin.
I don't even know what all they're doing. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
So as we walked out, you know, the guy's with me. He's like, "Well, you called that one." I'm like, "Yep." There's he's like, "Is our video?" I'm like, "Of course it's not legal. Everything going on in there is illegal." So we go on to the ball game. And while we're at the ball game, being kind of the medical people for this ball game, behind us, there's a chain link fence behind where our team is. Behind this chain link fence, which is still in the stadium area here, we notice a crowd of policemen gathering back there. We're like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah. So where are we going to get into now?
Yep. So one of the guys on the sideline with no teeth whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
He was one of the volunteer fire department people.
Of course.
You've met all them.
Yeah.
Love it. People, and God bless them. We need people like that.
We desperately need those people, but they are just drawn like moths to the flame.
In our area.
Any kind of chaos, they're just like.
Yes. In our area, there are some volunteer firemen that are just one step.
Quick little offshoot story. For a long time, and I've got family members who are volunteer firemen who've been paramedics. Hell, some of them are life flight on helicopters. These are some wonderful people. But at one point, they had a guy on the volunteer fire department that was showing up about 10 minutes before the calls were coming in.
Nice.
This guy was setting the fires and then, you know, waiting for everybody to suit up to go fight him. Like, he was an arsonist. I think they put him in jail.
Well,
like, I think they didn't just, like,
well, that's extreme.
Throw him off the fire department. I think they gathered enough information to lock him up.
Damn. So,
yeah, he was showing up before the alarms were going off.
I hate to use the word weird, but it's an odd hobby that a lot of people around here who are white trash go into that hobby. I'm just going to say it that
there are
way.
A lot of people that are rednecks and not white trash that go in. I'm going to defend that because I have a lot of friends who are volunteer firemen.
Well, and that's why I phrased it like that. I'm going to stick with how I phrased it. There's a lot of white trash people who, for some reason, go into that. That doesn't mean all of them are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of just plain redneck guys.
Yeah.
And that's great.
That seems to be the guys and girls, that seems to be, you know, there's a real community there, a real sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. I've worked with the volunteer fire department from where I came from, my little hometown, sold hot dogs, raised money and things like that. Because if we didn't have that volunteer you'd be shit
for sure.
Out of luck.
Right.
So.
Well, but there's some white trash in there, too.
There are a couple.
Well,
and if they start showing up before the alarm goes off, you know you got a problem.
Well, I got you. Well, the ones I've been to and then have seen people in, they seem to have more than the average white trash.
I don't know. I think it may
be
societal norm.
Well, anyway, this guy was on the sideline, and he had a little walkie-talkie. You know, they all have their equipment. They're like Batman.
Yeah,
they think they're Batman.
They do.
They love having love having their little walkie-talkie like it's 1984 on their side, little pagers. and yeah. and then their little headsets and all this stuff. They just love that stuff.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, so this guy, came in handy. We're like, what's going on that back behind us there? Oh, you know, with no teeth. Oh, I'll check out for you. So, well, that's how he sounded. Yeah, pretty much. So he gets on his walkie-talkie. Well, they're arresting that fellow over there because he's selling drugs. They caught him red-handed. I'm like, really? Like, just selling drugs randomly here? Well, they found him in the stands. He was going around the stands trying to sell them to people, and then he fought into his car. I'm like, so... he got a buddy too. He started to stay to try to find him. So they arrested.
They were wandering around the stands like they were selling popcorn, but yes. They were selling drugs.
Yes, that nice. Shit goes on. Yes.
Nice.
I posted a picture on Twitter of the one guy getting arrested. That guy got arrested, and then as we were leaving the game, they got the other guy.
Good.
So
they probably didn't get the six others that were doing the same thing.
Oh, no doubt. They're probably competing against each other.
Yeah.
They got a franchise. You got to get with the right guy to get the franchise.
Probably do.
Pay
That's
your franchise terrible. Fees.
That's terrible.
So yeah, that's the area we live in, unfortunately.
Yes, it is. We can't help that. It's not our fault.
It's not
All
our
right.
fault.
Well, I had an equally bad run-in with drugs. I'm going to tell the story on myself. No, not illegal drugs. Let's be clear on this one. All right. While I was trying to get out of New Hope, Pennsylvania, and get back on the interstate, been on my feet. I was tired. I'd driven a gazillion hours the day before.
Right.
I'm going to take an ibuprofen before I hit the turnpike up there. Well, I was also eating a bag of like trail mix, a little tiny has cranberries and walnuts and pistachios and everything.
Very tasty.
Yeah, so I've got my little water bottle here, and I'm in traffic, and I'm driving, and I'm trying to get my ibuprofen out, and I'm still eating a little bit of trail mix, so I'll have something on my stomach, and I go crunch, and it was the ibuprofen. And the panic that you experience when you've just chomped into an ibuprofen liquid gel in the middle of traffic, and it is burning your mouth on fire. Oh my God. It is the nasty. It tastes like, like maybe licorice and hydrochloric acid mix.
What?
It's awful. It's horrible.
Ibuprofen?
Yes, it was the little blue liquid gels, okay? Yeah,
I love those things.
And I'm just like, it's in my mouth, and my mouth is numb.
Damn.
And I managed to make a right turn and pull over into a parking lot, and I just like stop, and I'm opening the door, and I'm spitting out the door, and there's a guy right behind me that keeps honking the horn, and I'm waving him around, and I'm just like, finally, I get like he won't go around. He just keeps honking the horn. So I pull up a little bit further. He goes around. He's flipping me off. I'm like, eh, whatever. So I get out, and I'm like rinsing my mouth out. I've got my water bottle, and I'm like, spit. Spit, spit, and I'm just like sitting there, like the dumb that you feel after you've done something like that, and there are witnesses.
How did it get mixed up in the trail mix, Goofy?
I don't know. I was trying to follow the GPS, and there's a lot of traffic, and I really don't have a good excuse for that, Hank. I just chomped into two liquid gels in the middle of traffic. Then your mouth goes numb. Okay,
numb.
Then you feel swollen, but it's also numb. It's like, oh, what did I do to myself? So,
dang.
All right.
Who would have thought liquid gels does all that?
Public service announcement. Don't chew liquid gels.
They're not gummies.
No, they're definitely not. And they're really hard. So I thought for a second that I had bitten into, like, a shell or something.
Yeah.
Like you're legitimately not supposed to bite those suckers.
Well, I never knew.
Never knew, but yeah, they're telling on myself. And my last story from this trip was that I will never use Expedia again.
Oh, you had the Expedia experience.
The Expedia.
True,
like,
Expedia.
Well, I was trying to.
Remember, William Shatner was on.
I know.
How dare you lead us astray, William Shatner.
I know. Damn you, Captain Kirk. But I just could not get an itinerary printed. Now, thankfully, I didn't have to have it when I signed in.
Itinerary?
Yeah. Did I say it wrong?
I think so. You said an itinerary.
Oh, whoops.
It's okay.
I took my ibuprofen liquid gel.
I guess. But in my mouth.
I was freaking out as I was trying to leave because I was printing out my ticket and printing out my hotel reservation, and I couldn't do it through Expedia. They would not let you do anything until you logged in through Facebook, and I don't do that stuff. I don't tell people on Facebook that I'm not going to be home.
I agree. Screw them.
I just don't do that. That's a big no in my book. So
wouldn't they let you? So obviously, they wouldn't. Just didn't have a password and email address like every place else.
It would just redirect me to log in with Facebook.
That's bullshit.
Just kept like this circle loop. Like, and I would tell them no, I didn't want to do that. And finally, I just gave up, kept the kind of browser open on my phone and was hoping. And they did. They had my name. They had the credit card information at the hotel. But just for that ass whip and just trying to force me to go through the Facebook, just I won't do it again.
Well, screw them.
Yeah. So no more Expedia.
I like the Orbitz. I've always liked them. They seem to be all right.
I was just looking for a hotel, and this was great because my hotel was like a mile away from where my class was at. It was a great location, but just a bad experience. Like, I don't tell people on Facebook that I'm not going to be in town, that I'm staying in a hotel somewhere. That seems like a bad idea.
Oh, of course.
Especially when,
yeah. When,
you know, we live in an area where people sell drugs in the football stands.
Right. Well, you mentioned how that, and that was the Expedia thing. Before that, you mentioned your mouth on fire from your, what do you say, an ibuprofen
gel? Liquid gel, yeah.
Well, that brought me to a story that I found anyway about hot stuff. Apparently this, you know, at some point, I can't imagine why people like hot stuff.
I like hot stuff, but then there's nuclear hot that is not fun.
Right. I don't see why anybody likes that. Some people genuinely seem to like stuff that seems way too hot for anybody to like.
I think spicy, but hot is stupid. Like, I love wasabi. When we get sushi, I think, a lot more wasabi and stuff than you do. And that's a spicy...
Well, basically from Dumb and Dumber, when they put the peppers in the dude's hamburger, and he ends up dying from... Well, this dude didn't end up dying, but he almost did from eating a ghost pepper puree.
Well, that is just... Isn't that like crazy? Like,
that's the hottest.
Yeah.
They go back and forth between that, and I think there's another one called the Carolina Reaper.
The Carolina Reaper.
You know, they measure these things in Scobles.
Yes. We've talked about hot peppers before.
Right. And once in a while, you know, they're still genetically crossbreeding peppers and that kind of stuff. So sometimes it's a ghost pepper and sometimes it's a California Reaper. The Carolina Reaper. But this ghost pepper's right up there. I mean, it's one of the hottest.
Hottest of the hot.
In the world. Yeah, and here it says ghost peppers are among the hottest chili peppers in the world. They have a heat index as far as this Scoville I'm talking about. Well over a million Scoville units. And for comparison, a jalapeno pepper has 5,000 Scovilles.
Wow.
This is over a million. So whatever that is, a jalapeno times... 1,000, well over 1,000, whatever that is.
I can remember when the habanero peppers.
Over 100,000. It's like 100,000 times.
Yeah.
Think about that bullshit. That is crazy.
Yeah. I just, like, the habanero is too hot to eat. I mean, it's too hot to eat it, so.
Well, a local hamburger place had an eating contest, and they had a ghost pepper puree on top of their hamburger. That's part of their eating contest. So this dude tries to eat one of these, of course. This is a 47-year-old dude. And
this is a heart attack waiting to happen here. I'm just going to throw in here, like, you're 47 years old.
You're in
That's how old you are, hey.
You're in an eating contest. Good Lord.
Yeah. Like, you should know better.
Well, he took a bite of this thing and began, of course, violently retching, vomiting, hacking, coughing, you know, all that stuff. So after like six glasses of water, which do nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. It's capsaicin is what's causing this
heat sensation.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The hot that your sensation you're tasting is capsaicin. It's a acid. Unless you drink a base, it's not going to do shit.
Yeah.
Milk a little bit will help because it's at least neutral. At least neutralizes acid a little bit.
You need some baking soda or something like that.
Probably.
So, yeah.
I don't know what you need. Anyhow, this guy coughed and retched so much that he ended up going to the emergency room. He couldn't stop vomiting, chest and stomach pain, blah, blah, blah.
Holy shit. A CAT scan of the man's chest appeared to show that his esophagus was torn and his left lung had collapsed.
That's right. He coughed and threw up so hard that he tore his esophagus. And and he was throwing up all this stuff. You know, he was throwing up this mixture of, quote, hamburger, onions, and other green vomitous material that was going into his left lung space, the pleural cavity around your lung.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Which had collapsed. So, feeding tube, surgery.
Oh, shit.
He's been on a feeding tube since this, apparently. It's fatal in about 20 to 40% of the cases.
Yeah.
And there you go.
So, oh, my God.
Spent 23 days in the hospital after the operation. The feeding tube was still in place when they sent him home. Damn.
That's horrible. Why would you do something? All right. I'm going to tell this story. I used to work with a guy years ago. That was like, he was the annoying guy at the frat house that probably said stuff like Donald Trump has said. Okay. I'm sure he was that frat brother.
Yep.
At one point, I did environmental laboratory work. This guy used to, he thought this was funny. We had a lot of doors that had a glass window in them. He would bend over at the waist, like underneath the glass window. When you open the door, he would rip like a massive fart right there on you. I mean, like this was a professional environment, and like you would be ambushed by him doing that. All right. He also was on several like high dollar instruments. Like, you've been impressed with the laboratory over here. This was a 4-story laboratory.
Damn.
Like, he ran.
That stuff you should be farting on.
Exactly. He ran the instrument that checked for methane. Okay, volatiles.
He was Mr. Methane.
He was Mr. Methane running the methane instrument. So, of course, he had to fart to a test tube and run that. And
that sounds kind of fun.
Well, I mean, this was kind of funny until, like, we had to change the column on it and change out a bunch of stuff because it super saturated the instrument. Like, it fucked it up, okay? It's like, oh, damn it. Well, this guy, he was the guy that, like, ate the whole thing of wasabi when we took him to go have sushi.
Right.
And somebody was growing habanero peppers. That was the new big thing. Somebody was growing habanero peppers in their garden. So, of course, it's like, hey, man, dare you to eat this.
Oh,
of
yeah.
Of course.
Love it.
So this guy, of course.
Hey, y'all, watch this.
Yeah. Chomp. And we had eyewash stations everywhere. It's a laboratory. So he's basically hanging over an eyewash station with it just running into his mouth constantly. And we're like, how long are we going to leave him there? Oh, at least an hour. I mean, like we are so mean that, like, it was probably half an hour before anybody went to go get him some milk. Like, there's a corner store that we could walk to get milk. And nobody's going to do it because everybody has been farted on. Everybody has been tormented. This was kind of like our
right here,
revenge.
Right here is the million-dollar idea. Here's another one. We throw this out once in a while. Uh-huh. Somebody can have this one. Now, am I going to copyright this? Yeah, I'm copyrighting.
Copyrighting.
I'm copyrighting this. Hillbilly Nerd Talk 2016.
All right.
some kind of an anti-acid mixture that you can put.
Tums.
We need to market it better. Is Tums, okay. Is that what Tums is?
I think they're mildly caustic. I think they're mildly basic. Let's put that.
Well, we need something that's like a liquid mouthwash that mm-hmm. you can advertise. And they can have it at like Buffalo Wild Wings.
And especially then, if it tasted good too. Yeah.
Yeah. Put a little flavor in it and advertise it. You know, if you can try these hot wings, if it gets too hot for you, just swish some of this in your mouth. It'll help.
Yeah.
Boom. I'm telling you, that'll work. You market that right. It's the right. I'm telling you. Because all these peppers, there's a story, something about these
at
hot peppers
every 6 months.
All the time.
Yeah.
It's becoming a thing of how hot can they get.
We've stopped at Jungle Jim bought like hot pepper sauces for everybody mm-hmm. for Christmas. Before.
Trinidad Scorpion pepper sauce.
Yeah, I think you've got that one. I think I got Weapons of Ass Destruction for my family.
Right. That Trinidad Scorpion pepper is another one that's right up there in the top three or four competing with the hottest ever.
And you will like take a toothpick
insane.
And like go bloop into a whole pot of chili.
It's not a toothpick, but it's a drop. Yeah. Literally a good sized pot of chili.
A drop.
Two drops, you're good. If you get three drops, you might as well throw the whole damn pot out. It's unedible. It's unbelievable.
Awful.
I mean,
that's
it's unbelievable
horrible.
One or two drops of this stuff over a whole, you know, couple of gallons of this chili.
And we like chili during the winter. We've got to make chili.
Yeah, we got to make chili.
We didn't get any good, like, homegrown hamburger this year either, did we?
No, we did not, but we still have some.
Okay.
So we'll get that. My birthday was yesterday. Thanks. Thanks for everybody on Twitter that sent me a message. That was nice.
No.
And on Facebook.
Yes.
Wherever they found me.
Yes. I think you got a video, didn't you?
I did, and I want to thank them, too. This is a shout-out to other podcasts, but I can't help it. The show.
The whole show is a shout-out to other podcasts.
There's pod friends that we've got out here.
Yes.
And some I'm leaving out, so I apologize. Can't everybody
yes.
at once. Anyhow, Wrinkled Sheets and Two Girls in a Bottle of Wine. Those guys and girls.
Yes.
Steve and Janet.
Yes, they sang to you even. I felt bad. I didn't even sing to you.
They sent me a video. Yes, a video of them singing Happy Birthday to me.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
That made my day.
Yes, you showed me. Hang on, I gotta get you.
Uh-oh. Petra is, I'm doing play-by-play. She's running across the floor. She's running back. Oh, it's my card. It's my birthday card. I get to open it live on the air. That's awesome. It says, and it's what it says, you're awesome. With a finger pointing at me accusingly.
Yes.
And then it says, with little symbols to stop you from saying it, fuck yeah, happy birthday.
I didn't get a write in it because I forgot to give him his card yesterday. I had a buddy of mine getting married, so yesterday was kind of a mad scramble day because
I like it.
I'm making excuses.
You're awesome. Fuck yeah.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank
you.
I
love that card. See, it's
it is.
I'll write in it now.
You don't
something
have to write
nice
in
and
it?
Schmoopy.
Why? Because it says fuck yeah.
Yeah, because when I saw that, I was like, that's Hank. That's definitely Hank.
It's like Team America.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I know what they say. Yeah.
I think so. It's crude. It's rude.
I like it. It's awesome. It's right up my alley.
Well, since I didn't write in it, now you can save it and give it to somebody else for their birthday.
True. I can pass it along.
You would re-gift like that, wouldn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, that's a good frugal move. I'll do that.
You could give that to your dad for his birthday.
Everybody quit writing on cards so we can re-give them. So us frugal bastards like me can just re-gift.
That is the awfulest thing I've ever heard.
That's a great advice right there. Everybody should
just give the same birthday card year after year because they are getting crazy expensive.
Well, then they can give it back. You can just give it back and forth each other.
Like,
each year.
I bought my mom a birthday card this year and it was $8.
Damn,
I was had a stroke.
That's insane.
That's $8 for a card.
I can tell you that is 100% women driven industry.
Yeah, because you
us guys right now will 100% vote for. Oh yeah, let's all stop doing that. If somebody would somehow blanket stop that shit, we'd be all for that.
See, I feel like less of a woman sometimes because I'm really bad. Like my buddy that got married yesterday, her birthday's this month too. And I just combined it all into one card, one gift, one everything. Like I am horrible with that because I just like I actually got sticky notes because they're on their honeymoon, and I put a sticky note on one bill with congratulations, and I put a sticky note on the other bill with happy birthday. Like I'm a horrible chick.
Sticky notes are a classy move.
Woohoo!
That's funny.
I tried to get in contact with my old fraternity. You mentioned fraternities a minute ago, or fraternity guys, whatever. Your guy.
Yeah.
Well, my fraternity had a homecoming. It was Morehead State's homecoming, and I was a Theta Chi there.
All right.
I love that. That was the best times of my
life. You have good stories about college.
I love it. Well, I noticed one of the current members has on their Facebook page. Somehow it showed up on mine from them showing pictures from the, from the homecoming or whatever. And I wanted to know who the current president was so I could donate some money.
Yeah.
Now, they're always working on something. You know, it's a fraternity house.
It gets
beat up. Oh, God. It gets destroyed. You know, there's always somebody ramming her head through the drywall or, you know, hey, y'all, watch this. Or somebody getting in a fight and somebody going through a window or hitting a window. There's always something.
Yeah.
Just always. Anyhow, they've got this new project going on. They need donations, blah, 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 blah. So I get in touch with this dude, current member, and he looks like a, you know, typical college kid.
Yeah.
And I send him a message on Facebook. This is Hank. This is Hank Yates. He's, who's your current president? Who's your current sitting president of our fraternity right now? A few days later, well, not long, because you know how kids are. They get
Facebook,
it fast.
Yeah.
About almost instantaneously, but very soon I get a reply back. Austin Powers. I'm like, you little motherfucker. I'm half a little aggravated.
But really kind of impressed.
But I'm kind of proud too. That is exactly what I would expect from one of my fraternity brothers back in the day.
Yeah.
Like being a smart ass to this old dude just wanting to know who the president is. He doesn't know what I know. Maybe I'm trying to get him on something that he's
get in trouble, whatever.
Right, maybe he's, he's done something wrong and he's in trouble. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, he answers back, Austin Powers. Like I said, kind of proud and mad at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think about for a minute, like, you know.
How do I answer this?
Yeah. So I wrote back. I'm like, look, my name's Hank Yates. I'm an alumni and I'm trying to figure out a way to donate to help you guys rebuild
what your dumbasses tore down.
Basically, yeah. I said, so is your answer still Austin Powers? ? And then he writes back like a paragraph, like, oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Yates. I know who you are from blah, blah, blah. And, no, seriously, you can look it up in the thing. His name is Austin Powers. And, I wasn't being a smart ass, blah, blah, blah. And so I wrote back like, all right, well, that's a hell of a name. Thanks a lot. So, so anyway, the kid wasn't being a smart ass after all. Which makes it even better.
Which makes it fantastic.
If you name your kid, and the age, is it the right age? When did that movie come out?
I don't know. What year was that movie? Let me look that up.
Well, if his parents, if he was born before that movie or after the movie.
After that movie, that is some funny shit.
Then
yeah.
His parents set him up to be the president of a fraternity. So I just thought that was awesome.
1997.
20 years.
20 years.
I'll be damned. His parents named
his parents.
His parents named this kid Austin Powers.
Oh my God.
And now he's a president of a fraternity at Morehead State.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Well,
so if anybody else wants to donate to the old fund at the Theta Chi house, they can get a hold of Austin Powers. And send him some money if everybody's feeling all charitable tonight since we've talked about that.
Oh, my God. Dude.
Maybe. I haven't looked him up. If that bastard's lying to me, if that's really not, like, his, if his name's really like Mike Smith or something, I will kill that motherfucker.
You're going to go tear down the door yourself.
I will. Oh, yeah. Which one are you?
Which one are you,
pranksters?
Although I could totally see, like, fraternity boy. Like, I've got a sorority story. I could tell. Like, I briefly belonged to a sorority. I ended up having to drop out. I was too busy, not enough money, blah, blah, blah. But, we were, like, one of our pranks that we used to prank a fraternity. Like, the sorority and the fraternity just hung out together all the time. Half of us were dating somebody in the fraternity, so it just worked out that way.
Right.
We were walking down the street to go break into the fraternity house because we knew where they kept all the spare keys and all. There's like four of us in our, you know, Greek letters. And there's one girl in like this all black, like cat suit, like she's a burglar or something.
Nice, like burglar.
So of course the police stop her. And like, here we are coming along, like right behind her. And they're like, what are you girls doing? And like, I'm like, well, we're going here to steal their pledge paddles. And they're like, be careful. Be very careful doing that. That's going to upset them. Oh. That was their advice. I mean, like, going to college in a small town is so different than going to university somewhere where the police are hard ass. You know, they're like, you know, checking on us later to make sure we're all right.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was. That's how I was at Moorhead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, if anybody wants to help our cause as far as donating.
Yeah. Well, we're not asking for a donation. We're asking for, if you're going to buy stuff on Amazon, and we know you're going to, would you please go to our website, hillbillynerdtalk.com, and click on our Amazon banner. We get a small kickback there. Might buy some microphone covers.
Exactly. Someday. And there also is, if anybody does have the urge, by the way, we do have a donate button.
We do.
And we have had people actually donate. It's nice.
Cool.
You know, again, we're not totally, we're going to do this either way. So
yeah, we're not dependent on financial contributions.
Right. But we're trying to, the Amazon thing helps a lot because that's really, if you're going to do that anyway.
Yeah.
Why not click on our banner to take you to Amazon and then buy your stuff?
Yeah.
That would be the logical thing.
And
to
that's
help
usually
everybody.
Where we buy our cords and our microphones. And
it's a win-win situation for everybody, as far as I can tell.
All right. And from our website there, hillbillynerdtalk.com, can't talk anymore, you can find our Facebook, our Twitter, my Pinterest, and Hank's personal Facebook, I believe.
Yeah, that's a good show.
I think so, too.
Had a good conversation there. It was nice.
All right, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.